Mainstream Mental Health Radio
with Dr. John Huber.
What do you think you are, crazy or something? Well, you're not.
We're on a mission from God.
News, issues revolving around mental health.
Dr. John Huber, a mental health professional for over 20 years, the chairman for Mainstream Mental Health, a clinical forensic psychologist, and a psychology professor at Texas State University. Breaking the silence of mental health, one day at a time. Discussing the human condition. Providing a sounding board for mental health issues. And making mental health mainstream.
You got a gift, my friend.
Now it's time for Mainstream Mental Health Radio.
Let the healing begin.
With Dr. John Huber. To Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber. Check us out on social media. Google Plus, Mainstream Mental Health. Instagram, at Mainstream Mental Health. Twitter, at Mainstream MENTL. And search for Mainstream Mental Health on Facebook. Please tune in every week to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Mainstream Mental Health Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. John Huber, and we'd like to remind you to share our information with your friends and family. Follow us at mainstreammentalhealth.org, and also you can listen to us at the Mental Health News Radio Network. Today we have someone I consider my friend. I've done lots of interviews with her. She has promoted Mainstream Mental Health probably more than just about anybody else, any one particular show. She is an amazing person in general. She always brings a smile to my face. And with that, I would just like to jump in and introduce Amy Fuller, the host of America Trends on the YouTube network. Amy, how are you?
Oh, well, now I'm smiling, Dr. Huber. Thanks so much.
Well, you are kind of a... Good. You are a jack of all trades. I really do like your hats. I'm not a hat person, but man, the amount of artistic endeavor that has to go through to make those amazing hats is just incredible. And I love being on your show. You're one of the shows, like I said, that every time I'm on there, I walk away with a smile. You guys, the whole America Trends is very professional. And, you know, I always get the feeling, no matter what we talk about, that you guys really care about what's going on with mental health. And I just really appreciate that support from you guys. So thank you.
Of course, sure. We appreciate all you do. I mean, I know Mainstream Mental Health is nonprofit. You make it your life's work to help other people, and we need it, man. We've got anxiety. We've got social media that's making us, you know, a little up the wall, and, you know, you putting the spotlight on so many things is just so lucrative for everywhere around the world, because I think they can download you anywhere, right? We are in the age of the Internet, yeah?
Definitely, definitely. Well, Amy, you know, you are a TV host, an amazing TV host, and, you know, one of the things I'm interested in, of course, is the psychology behind everything. So what do you think makes you such a good host?
Oh, wow, that's really kind. Now, when you say you're interested in the psychology behind everything, I think that's one reason why we get along so well. Well, besides the... You and I are all around great people, there's no doubt. But the psychology behind things, what makes everything tick, is just so interesting to me, the psychology and the history behind it. And when you add those two up and have that curiosity, you never stop learning and sort of being amazed. So by being a great TV host, I don't know of what you speak. I thank you for the compliment. I will say I am very curious about a lot of things, especially your profession. I was in TV news for a couple decades, and I think more now than then, I am curious about more and more things all over the map, and I have the time to ponder it. I'm not running around chasing stories and filling time that other producers or other networks are assigning me. So the nice thing about America Trends, which airs on YouTube America, is that I have a big part in being able to sort of select the subjects. We talk about what's trending, so obviously we cover that. With the psychology of all this, I love having guests on. We do two or three guests a day. And so even if it's something, if they book somebody that I'm not really aware of, oh, what is this about? Or this person wrote a book on this guy or this subject. What is this about? Why don't I know this? You know, if someone dedicates their life to writing a book about, oh, let's say Jim Thorpe, then let's find out more about it. Why did one guy decide this is the guy that I need to write this book about? This is what I'm going to take. Because writing a book takes a long time. You know, it's not just like putting out a little tweet with however many characters do we have now, 180? So it takes some dedication to write a whole book. So, I do enjoy hosting the show because of the curiosity. And also, you know what, you mentioned the people that at America Trends that I work with. They are out of this world. And the people at the network and the owner of the studio, and we really do have a ball, just a ball. And that's really good for your mental health, no matter what profession you're in.
Well, definitely, you know, and there's always a very supportive feeling there. You know, it's like we do a lot of stuff over the internet between you and I, and as you know, that is not always the smoothest platform to run things with. And, you know, your producer and your Daily Show IT technician and everything else, man, they are so supportive. And I'm always broadcasting from different hospitals or whatever, sometimes from the front seat of my car. And I always get a lot of support, technical advice. They've helped me a lot in different ways. And it's one of those shows that I seem to learn something new almost every time I do it. And that does support that basic family feeling you get there. That's like it's your second family. And it makes me wonder almost every time we do this, okay, you know, yeah, you've been in TV, in news, and all this over there. But what originally, I mean, when you were running around in college as an undergraduate, or maybe even earlier than that in high school, what made you think, hey, you know, I want to get into the news. I want to get into and being in front of that camera.
I actually had the goal pretty early, probably around 15. And I had learned, you know, I come from a small town in Ohio, and you don't, every dream you have, you don't necessarily get to achieve, right? I found out though at an early age with some other things that if you set a goal and make that your mark and go after it, you really can achieve things. It's just, since I'm mentioning, I'll just sort of go into it quickly. I had, when I was 9 years old, my aunt was captain of this drill team, and I know you're in Texas, so the people around you, you'd broadcast everywhere, but drill teams are big in Texas, dance teams, Texas Kilgore Rangerettes, all that stuff. That's sort of what we were like. We, in Ohio, it was called the Zanesville Devilettes. We were Blue Devils, the high school, and I was taken to this show once where my aunt and these 50 girls were dancing all in unison, state champions for 25 years, so they were pretty good. And I just watched their 8-minute show that they did, this exhibition, and I thought, I wasn't a dancer. I said, how do they do everything in unison like that? How do they remember a routine, for heaven's sake?
Right.
None of it made sense to me. And I was 9 years old, and I thought, boy, that would be neat to be on that team someday. And, boy, Sandy's captain, that must be really something that she achieved that, you know. Whatever thoughts go through a 9-year-old's head. And you know what actually happened is I sort of had that dream and went after it, kept eye on the prize, and I actually did make the team my freshman year, and then my senior year I was captain. And not everything works out that way, but it was a nice example to show if you go after something, you know what you want, just continue. Just sometimes you get ahead just by other people falling away because they get tired of going for stuff. So that was one thing. I always went back to the journalism thing. I always liked to read and write, and I wanted to be a writer. But I had sort of this reasonable craziness to me where I thought, you know, you can't just sit around and write because you have to pay bills. I'm already thinking this at 8 or 9 too. I started thinking about print journalism and magazine journalism. And then, you know, we had in our small town of Zanesville, Ohio, we actually had our own NBC affiliate there, WHIZ-TV. And
wow.
So what I did was during college, I got internships there at the bigger networks in Columbus, which was an hour away. And I would go, I went to school at Ohio State, and then I'd go home to Zanesville on the weekends to do, it was an internship, but also paid jobs. I had radio shows on our AM and FM station, and then I did production work for the TV side. I ran camera, ran the teleprompter, and stuff like that. So I learned the behind the scenes. And then I just went for it. And then by the time I graduated, they knew me, and they knew I wanted to get into news. And sure, the day after I graduated, I got, it had been a pretty late night, Dr. Huber, and I woke up the next morning, and my answering machine, we had those back in the day. This was circa 1984. The answering machine was blinking, and it was the news director, George Hiotis, saying, can you come in for your interview earlier than we had planned? I had someone move on to a new job, and I need someone quickly. And I'm like, yeah. So I sort of got that job. I always feel like I was lucky enough to get that job for the next day. So I don't know. That's
wow.
My story in the news. I had an interest in news and current events and things that matter in the world. So it just was a thing.
That is great. Now, you just mentioned you kind of got yourself into a unique position where you don't necessarily have to follow every lead that, you know, some news producer is telling you to go do and everything else. And you're telling essentially your story through all these other stories. And, you know, when I watch America Trends, I see all this energy and things you care about. How do you manage to, you know, kind of push your motivation and your spirit through everything, regardless of what I've watched you talk about? Your energy comes through. And that's kind of the psychology part that I want to see, is how do you manage that? I mean, you know, my foray into media is kind of a different route, but, and I didn't know that this would be somewhere I would go. And how do you do that? What would you tell someone like me who is at the beginning stages of their media endeavors, and how to keep that energy going throughout every story?
That's a great question. I think the biggest thing is the curiosity. Be smart about it. Don't talk down to your audience. You know, we're told in, you know, one of the journalism 101 things we learn about is write and speak to the audience as if you're talking to third graders, which is fine if you're trying to teach someone how to write without, I mean, you can't be a poet if you're going into broadcast journalism. There's just not necessarily time for it. Every word counts. You might have a story. They'll say, write this story, and it needs to be 20 seconds long. That doesn't do a lot of good for the story. But, you know, getting back to the curiosity of it all, it is nice because, well, for one thing, there are two people who book for our show. There's our executive producer, David, who's wonderful, and there's me. And if we book somebody and it's something I don't know anything about, again, I just say, you know, well, what is it about this person that makes them an expert on this and makes them want to do it? And I would just say that, you know, just having that curiosity and not talking down to your audience and, you know, just being smart about it. Let your audience be smart with you, if that sort of makes sense. Bring them along.
Mm-hmm.
I try to explain, when you're on TV, a lot of times you'll see news anchors, they'll refer to something like they'll say, oh, yeah, the Jim Acosta thing yesterday, which was a big thing yesterday that we can go into, where he had a hissy fit during the daily briefing at the White House and targeted Sarah Sanders. You know, some people might say that, or they might say the Mueller probe. And if people like you and I who are media, who aren't following every single thing, they're lost already. They're like, they might even say, who the heck's Mueller? What did Jim Acosta, who is Jim Acosta? So then if we launch into other things and our opinions about it without explaining, they're lost and they're turning off. They just don't care. They can't follow it. Who can follow all these things every single day? The stuff moves so fast.
Yes.
So, you know, that's part of it too. You explain what's going on. Jim Acosta did this. Here's why. And early in the day, Trump had said this and his daughter said this. And here's what he did to Sarah. And here's what happened next. And then you sort of give your opinion on it, and, you know, you want to glean. You have to be interested in what your guest is saying, too. You have to have an interest in how they're going to respond. And, I mean, there's a lot to learn with it, because you want to – I sometimes overstudy and overproduce, and I have to make sure that I give – when I have a guest on, I explain to my audience why they're important and why I have them on, but allow the guest enough time to speak. And it's a balance, because if you don't let your audience know why this person is special and why they should spend their time listening, then you have to hope that the guest communicates that. And they don't always do that. Some people are just shy. And so they'll start talking. And you don't know that, for instance, Dr. Colleen Fitzpatrick, who comes on my show often like you do, she is someone who runs something called Identifinders. She solves mysteries for a living through DNA. She finds adoptees, missing persons, and helps identify serial killers, which is a whole other segment we could talk about. But her background?
Yes.
Oh, she used to be a nuclear physicist, by the way. That's her old job. Basically, balance of introducing your guests, promoting your guests, but letting them talk too. And, you know, I get excited to talk to a lot of these people. And so I have to chill out and let them talk and not say, oh, then this and that and the other. You got to give them time to talk. So I don't know. I mean, I'm no expert on it, but I just, you know, that's part of what comes down.
Well, you know, and it's funny, too. You talk about storytelling and poetry and literature and like that. And you are a storyteller. And I see that even in the sideline that I see you have making these hats and being, you know, a clinical forensic psychologist. I've had training in Freudian psychology and looking at drawings and abstract pieces and being able to interpret them. But every time I see one of your hats, I see a story in each one of those hats. And it's kind of funny because you talk about that storyteller, being that writer, that poet. And I mean, I think you're telling a story with every one of those hats. And, you know, my thought in that is the people who pick each one of those hats, there's some part of that story that subconsciously is attracting them to that hat. And tell me a little bit about your hat making. You know, it could be something that is very relaxing and therapeutic for you, but I don't know. I've never asked you about your hats before. Tell me about your hats.
I'm totally psyched that you're diagnosing through hats. I love this. I love to diagnose people. I'm an armchair psychologist, and I probably need to get over myself. But, I mean, if you know a few of things of why people do things, why they operate the way they do, then you can sort of realize, oh, they're not reacting this way because of something I said or did. It really is them. And I need to, you know, give them a break and not react. So, anyway, the hats. Yeah. I actually started a jewelry line about 16, 17 years ago. And that was the first thing I did that was like, hey, let's take this art, wearable, and it's also being monetized, because even though I have, back then I was in broadcast journalism, I was anchoring an NBC affiliate, I was able to have this internet business too, just for fun. Because I started making more necklaces that I could wear, Dr. Huber, which is probably needs to be analyzed too. A few years ago, now I live in San Diego, and the Del Mar races are big around here. And on opening day, just like at the Kentucky Derby, you wear your big hat. well, I love to wear hats. Who doesn't want to wear hats any chance you can? And it's sort of gone out of, you know, it used to be a lady back in the day never went out of the house without her hat and gloves. It was completely unseemly. And so it's nice to have an excuse to dress up. And I was buying hats, and then I just, it's with the, like with the jewelry, I sort of wanted to make my own, and I'd really like to match this dress and do this, so I'm going to mess around with this. And that's sort of how it started. And it is therapeutic. And if you can, and the other thing about those, it's not like we talked about writing a book. That sort of takes a long time for the gratification to set in, for you to get reaction. But if I make a hat and finish it, or a piece of jewelry, the same day I can have it online and actually sell it, which sometimes happens, which is nice and a very positive thing to happen. Or, you know, in the age of social media, I'm sort of versed in photography and editing, so I can do my own nice photos. And you can get the immediate gratification that way. You can analyze that, too, tying in with the social media, the media gratification. I don't take selfies. I take hatties, you know, pictures of the hats. So that's something. The other part of it, though, Doc, any crafter will tell you that it can cause anxiety because you're accumulating a lot of things, ribbons, cinema material, beads. You have to be very organized to keep it together, or it can take over your home and studio. And that's probably a whole other thing that we need to talk about someday. You and me on the couch analyzing.
Well, cool. Well, so where can my listeners find out more about your hats? And then also, where can they find out more about you and what you're doing and your story?
I'll just, you know, I've got the domain amyfuller.com. Amy spelled the French way, which is A-I-M-E-E. I'm not trying to be cute or pompous. That's what the parents did. The parents wrote it that way. So it's amyfuller.com, or just Twitter also is just @AmyFuller. And, yeah, it's fun to be social. I mean, you don't even have to come buy a hat. Just come talk to me and follow, and we'll like each other's stuff.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. Well, if you have one thing that you want to get across to my listeners, one message, what would that be?
That's interesting. Any topic or just my, you know, my worldview?
Well, that's what you put through in every one of your stories, is little pieces of your worldview.
Okay, I would say I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. I follow Jesus, first of all. So we didn't get to that. Well, but I would say with a little help from mainstream mental health and Jesus Christ, you can get through any anxiety and any bad day. Amen and praise the Lord.
Well, we're running out of time, and that concludes our interview here at Mainstream Mental Health Radio. I would love to invite everyone to follow Amy Fuller. She has an amazing TV show, and her hats are just incredible. I can't tell you enough. I'm afraid to show my daughter her hats because, you know, I'm going to have a hat collection, I think, shortly thereafter. So I recommend everybody check her stuff out. She does amazing storytelling through her hats and through her interviews. And I want to remind everybody to follow us at mainstreammentalhealth.org or listening to us at Mainstream Mental Health Radio and the Mental Health News Radio Network. And last but not least, don't forget that life is what happens while you're making plans. So buckle up.
Thanks for listening to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber. Check us out on social media, Google+, Mainstream Mental Health, Instagram @MainstreamMentalHealth, Twitter @MainstreamMENTL, and search for Mainstream Mental Health on Facebook. Please tune in every week to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber.